Okay, so what is today? The 28th of March. You're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I just do that for my recording purposes because I rush into the studio running like 3 seconds on par, ready to roll. I'm getting some odd kind of feedback from the station here. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe they can fix that. Yeah, I think they did. Maybe. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Headphones come off, and we'll just try to get to work here. Something that really stood out to me profoundly today was what Vladimir Putin said, and there is, I guess, as far as what's going on in Ukraine, we have the most pathetic, weak, impotent, insignificant president we've ever had in our American history. And he is not, he's an absolute threat and a danger to our entire system. I'm going to do something here for the recording. I'm getting an echo, but anyway, so he's lined us up to basically to start World War III, and it is super serious. Okay, so hopefully I can get my headphones back on here soon. My apologies. Trust me, there's some kind of technical stuff going on. But anyway, I will. I'll just kind of read you some of the stuff he said in his speech today, which is he says the whole global economy and trade have suffered a major blow, as did the trust in the U.S. dollar as the main reserve currency. The illegitimate freezing of some of the currency reserves of the Bank of Russia marks the end of first-class assets. And he said, in fact, the U.S. and EU have now defaulted on debts owed him, or Russia, on their obligations to Russia, I'm reading. Now, everyone knows that financial reserves can simply be stolen, and many countries in the immediate future will begin, he goes, I'm sure this is what's going to happen, to convert their paper and digital assets into real reserves of raw materials, land, food, gold, silver, and other real assets. And he says point blank that they are going to, he's explaining that they can seize digital assets. And folks, here's the thing that goes through my mind. Putin is a problem. Putin is a real problem, okay? He is, I'm not going to say he's a good man, but people, they criticized him harshly, or criticized Trump harshly when Trump said that he was a smart man. And, I mean, just the nasty stuff. It's just the absolute foolishness. And what Putin said as he continued on his rampage, which, you know, he's brilliant. He's smart. He's right. He's criticizing the United States running around. You think of what a coward Biden is. Do you really think that Trump would be running around seizing assets of billionaires? You know what that is? That's a socialist radical activity. It's as extreme as it gets, and it does nothing except make a lot of the wrong people mad. And, you know, and I'll tell you what wise men do. Wise men wait. Look at China. Look at how they're patient. They're patient, they're patient, and they're patient. They're not in a rush. They're in no rush. They know the amount of time it takes is not relevant. All they know is that they're going to win. And so I think the way that I look at that is from a perspective of they know what's coming. They've got a window of opportunity. I have discussed on the radio show in the past that the leopard, the dragon, and the bear. And General McChrystal spoke here recently, and he discussed the fact that Russia had lined up their all of their artillery in a 44-mile line. General McChrystal said that was clearly the largest vote of faith in Biden's cowardice and incompetence and weakness ever seen in the history of the United States of America. We could have wiped him out, okay? And I know there's people that argue both sides of this thing. The problem is when you listen to Putin, he's got some good points. And his points are, who are we, America, to be sitting here seizing assets that aren't ours? He's saying, fine, I'll start seizing Americans' assets here in Russia. And he's justified. What good does that do? It's just socialist confiscation. And you're doing it to the wrong country. This is a communist country. You're not going to teach them a lesson. They know how to take care of business in a way that you don't, or I don't. But when Putin comes out and he says, here's what's going to happen, he says clearly, this shows that digital assets can be frozen, stolen, confiscated, whatever. Folks, if you're comfortable, if you think you're comfortable and you think you're going to wait and you're just going to chill out and like you're smarter than everyone else and you know, man, when it gets bad, then I'm going to, you know, then I'll make a move and I got my 401k. You know, your 401k, I was talking to a gentleman today that works for UPS. They don't even match. So you're taking your own money. You're putting it into a 401k. What are you doing? What are you accomplishing? You take a specific amount of money and pre-tax, you put it in a savings account, in an investment, in one of their fine investments that they offer, one of their paper assets. And there it sits, and it sits, and it sits, and it sits. And isn't it interesting? The Dow has gone up and up and up, and now it's back down, and then it's up and down again. Have you made that kind of money? I mean, since Trump got in office, if you have not made like over 200% on your money, then why? That's supposedly what the Dow did. It's an artificial index. It's deceptive. It's designed to deceive. The Dow is 30 stocks out of over 2 million that are removed and replaced on a regular basis. They operate on a weighted moving average. And so when things tank, they go kaput. They have time to pull one out and plug something new in the hole. They've given the Fed permission to infuse funds into index equities, in other words, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ. They can infuse funds in to prop it up. It's interesting. I hear a lot of people talk about how great Reagan was. Reagan was the greatest, the bestest ever. Reagan started an absolute radical abuse of the Fourth Amendment. That's the right to or your protection against illegal search and seizure. Reagan started the PPT, which is the Plunge Protection Team, which is literally government-funded infusion or manipulation in order to create artificial prosperity in certain stock or equity funds to deceive you. Why? Well, Reagan was, I guess, smart, because who took that ball and ran it through the touchdown finish line was Mr. William, President William Clinton, you know, Mr. Wonderful, you know, Mr. Well, you know, I really care about the people. Yeah, he cares about his people. I won't get into that. But, folks, there is deception there. You're not getting performance at the level or the rate that these indexes are at. You think you're doing the right thing because everyone else is doing it, and they act like, what benefits do you have? We try to interview people because we need people. And what do you have, a 401k? People don't even know what they're asking. I have far better than a 401k. I give precious metals, you know. I'll leave it at that. And then some, okay? But the 401k thing, get over it. Get over it and get over it. If you have some pension through the government or whatever, fine. You know, let that be. But the 401k, get it out. Get it out, get it out, get it out, get it out. And what I'm trying to say is get it out. It's not, you take a certain amount of money, and it's hard to even say this, because say you have 100 grand in a 401k, hypothetically, and say it went to 400 grand, which it doesn't. They never do. I've been in the money world since 1990. Actually, since the late 80s, I started really getting caught up in the 80s. It doesn't happen. I mean, there's certain stocks that blow through the roof, and oh, golly, gee darn, I wish I had that one. And everyone's like, you know, I had Apple stock when it was $7 a share, and now it's $18 million. And, you know, if I'd have hung on, I could have bought a, you know, Sikorsky helicopter and an island in Hawaii. Well, you didn't hang on, and that's just the way it goes. There are stocks like that, but it's a crapshoot. Like I've said, there's over 2 million, and you in the NYSE alone. And how do you know? I played that game before God woke me up. There's a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and I have a strong academic background in applied math and statistics and economics. And that book transformed me. I always say I was like the red, white, and blue banker boy. I'd made my way to regional manager of Bank of America by the age of 30, okay? And I came out of, you know, I had my challenges growing up, and you know, I got married at 20, had kids at 21, wife wasn't doing so hot with rheumatoid. I worked full-time, went to school full-time, grinding out the hardest degree you can, and blah, 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 poor me. But I'm just saying, you know, I just put my head to the grinding wheel and ran. I had a pair of skis and a bike, and I grew up skiing from the age of second grade. That's all I did, and I was very good at it. I raced in GS and downhill, and then in college, I was an instructor, among other things. I oddly had the fortune of skiing with a guy named Scotty Schmidt at Bridger Bowl in Bozeman, who invented extreme skiing. Little did I know what I was getting into with that. I took ski class my freshman year, and when we showed up, there's probably 250, 260 kids, and they have you just ski down a hill. And they go, you're in the A through F group, A, B, C, D, E, F. Well, isn't that backwards? But the F group was the best group. There was only like five of us. And three of them were kids I grew up with, like racing and skiing. And then this Scotty Schmidt, who's a guru, he got extreme skiing into the Olympics and all that. I didn't know that then. I had no clue. And he goes, all right, guys, let's go. And so we ride up the chairlift, we get to the top, take off our skis, throw them on our shoulder, and start hiking up the hill. I thought I was past that when I got out of that whole racing and crazed environment. There's nothing worse than hiking up a mile a hill with snow boots on. It's the most terrible experience. There's nothing more exhausting. And then we got to the top of this avalanche chute, literally, I'm not exaggerating, and there's pictures of it. Scotty Schmidt has them on his website. It's the most insane. It's an avalanche chute with trees in the middle, and I had these big 210 Rossignol skis. One of them had a bent tail because I couldn't afford anything else, and I was with all these other kids who had mommies and daddies that bought them all the pretty toys, and I didn't have that benefit, and I mean, it was like, how close to death can you get, you know? And so I did that for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then they called me and asked me to instruct the D class, and I developed my own technique of education instead of the STEM Christie and all this, and I just love skiing. So my wife was the other day, I mean, we just had our 35th anniversary, and we're 55 going on 56, and my wife's like, it was so sad when you had to sell your skis and your mountain bike. But we got out of college, and I sold my skis, my mountain bike. I went and stayed with a friend in Seattle, hustled it up, you know, went and got a job, went to a company called Equifax, whom my cousin out of Georgia ended up being the CFO for, which is quite ironic. I guess I have good genetics there somewhere. They might have skipped my generation individually, but anyway, but I, you know, and so I went out and I just put the nose to the grindstone. I was the youngest, fastest promoted, of course, always the least paid of everyone in my own work. I'd gotten myself to this regional manager position, which I loved in the 90s. I was doing really well, and God's good. God got me into coins, and he moved me away. Moved me over into another company. There was about a year where I was a regional manager for a company called IndyMac Mortgage, which was the fourth largest mortgage lender in the nation. And God gave me that so I could transition to here today, Coins Plus, because I wasn't on the road for three states all the time. You know, and he was good to me. But I was, like I say, red, white, and blue banker boy. I had literally blue suit, white shirt, and red tie, you know. And I liked people, and I think they kind of liked me, and I did well at it. But when I read that book, it was over. That book had just come out, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have copies here. We have dozens and dozens. They're, I don't know what they are, $30. They're thick. They're 2 inches thick. It's written so you can scan through it. If you read one of the front pages, he says, I know thick books can be intimidating. That's why I've written it so there's an intro and summary to each chapter. And he says, read it that way from the very beginning. It takes you about an hour, he says. I say hour, hour and a half to scan through it, and then go back and read it again. It's a fantastic book, but it transformed my thinking. It taught me about money and God, and I mean God's money, the real money, and the history of money in America and the world. And all of a sudden, I was like, hey, I've been lied to. I learned about the Federal Reserve. I learned about gold. I mean, this stuff hit fast. It's all right there. That book's spectacular. A lot of people can't sit down and read it, but I'm telling you, that transformed my life. And then one thing led to another, and here I am. And God's been really good to our business. I came out of banking. I had a certain set of rules in my mind and margins and fairness and honesty and integrity, and I figured 2% is better than no percent, and a lot of the people associated in our industry were thinking 30% is right, and I thought that was wrong. And there's a lot of other companies that I'm getting, folks, because everyone wants in the metals again, and I'm getting phone calls a lot from people that are not, they don't listen to the radio show, and they're not waking up. They don't understand. They're being ripped off, scammed, schemed. They get hooked up, you know, oh, I found an ad in the NRA magazine or this magazine or that, and they're getting roped in. They're getting roped in, and they're getting taken to the cleaners, frankly, and they're, you know, they're getting taken advantage of. There's commission salespeople that get paid a percentage of the profit. And that is not the way we've ever operated. We buy and sell on the thinnest margins known to man. We're always nationally competitive. People call and go, what's your profit on silver? It's like, it's not our profit on silver. But people know, you know, it is what it is. The margin is what it is. There's a margin and a premium. And the premium on metals right now is healthy, okay? And on silver, it's very healthy. Why would that be? Well, gee, I don't know. The U.S. Mint ran out of silver for a few weeks. I don't even know if they got back up and rolling yet. But if the United States Mint can't get silver, that might tell you there's a supply and demand issue. And the answer is yes, we're running out. I mean, we keep trying our best to keep it in stock. We move a lot of silver, maybe, I don't know, who knows, 10,000 ounces a week, maybe? And it's really hard to keep in stock, and I don't know what the future of that looks like, but I know when I've seen this in the past, it's a precursor to a significant upturn. And a lot of people will procrastinate movement or behavior based on, you know, the wrong things. They'll be like, well, I'm going to wait for this, and I, by golly, I could have bought it at that, and gee whiz, it's this, and you know what? It's God's money. It's a hard asset. It starts out in the beginning of the Bible. It's God's money. I mean, I've repeated it over and over, and I'll never stop. Why would God say, in the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth, and then he goes through the whole thing of how he made the earth good for man, and you know, plants and shrubs and trees and water and animals and all this. Then he recaps it in Genesis 2. And the next thing he does is talk about gold. And then in Gen 4, he goes to silver. Economics are founded at that point. That's kind of profoundly significant. I was talking to someone today over the years of the stuff. You know, in the Bible, prior to the flood, it says that gold was found in the land of Havilah. Low sandy land. That's the only land left on earth that still produces gold. And that would be the outback of Australia and some of the Sahara. The Sahara is hard because there's so much sand. But the outback's hard. And gold gets pressed up just like rocks. I grew up in Montana, and there's always a job every spring, picking rock. The earth pushes the rock up. Well, in the outback, the earth pushes the gold up, okay? So you got that going on. But then why do we find gold on the high ends of the mountains, you know, and all over the world? I think I have my opinions. There's wire gold I've bought in mass quantities out of Liberty, Washington. This is gold literally shaped like a wire, apparently braided by man. I'm not saying maybe, like, this stuff is artistically braided. So why would that be? And it's in the earth. And then there's points of severance where the earth sheared. And this guy and his two sons years back, decades back, were following this for over a mile and got a ton of it. And it looks very clearly like real wire. Well, maybe the Dead Sea Scrolls are right. That's what inspired J.R.R. Tolkien to write Lord of the Rings. He was one of the translators of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And prior to the flood, maybe the world had the empires and whatnot that are mentioned in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when the great flood occurred and the tectonic plate shifting occurred, it moved things around and gold that was in the low. I also think there were kingdoms on top of certain mounds and mountains and whatnot. That's where the legends of Atlantis come in. But I believe that's the case. And then when the earth got pounded, and I mean pounded by the great flood, folks, it wasn't just, I mean, the water was coming up from under the earth, but it was also crashing down from the heavens. You know, we know there was a firmament above, which no longer exists. So you got ice busting out of the whole shell of the, you know, the outer atmosphere crashing down. You've got frozen woolly mammoths and everything else that still have food in their mouth because 270 degree below zero, in other words, zero Kelvin air, came shooting down and froze them in their tracks. And you might think, well, that's silly. Hey, if you're standing there and it's 60, 70, well, it was tropical. Say it's 80, 90 degrees, and I blast you even with air that's 40 below, what are you going to do? You're not taking another breath until something changes. Well, try 40 below, now try 270 below. You're flash frozen. And then the Ice Age came in. The Great Flood hits. I think certain things happened. Things were frosted and frozen. It was so cold that the frost sealed them in ice instantly before the flood hit. I bet you the weather was just beyond. If you read the Book of Jashar in sacredtext.com and you read about what it was like in the ark, it was turning upside down, topsy-turvy. They talk about feces everywhere. Noah was begging for God to take his life. It was nasty stuff. And then he, and then it landed on the mountains of Ararat. And it was probably about a year, I think, before they could really even leave the ark because the land was so wet and mucky. And, you know, it all makes sense to me. So I think that there was kingdoms before. I think that God cleaned out when he said he can't, his spirit can't contend with man forever. There was the Nephilim and all kinds of stuff. He had to clean up some stuff and get things straightened up. We don't know his plan and his intentions, and it's not right for us to think we do. He has us living in an era that is relevant to our time, and we've got responsibility. But I'll tell you what, over time, you know, God's time frame is a lot different than ours, and things take a lot longer than we think. You know, in his time. I mean, he's got his own time frame. We don't even know how that works. And we need to understand that he's got his own time scale. But we're seeing an acceleration. And it's interesting that I was reading recently on the show, you know, that he who restrains or the one who restrains is lifted. And if you just for a minute allow yourself to think maybe, just maybe, what if that isn't the equivalent of the rapture? It's not the removal of the entire body of Christ. I know, like, I talked to an Assemblies of God guy the other day, and it, you know, and they, we all get taught that in certain denominations that that's just the way it is. But it's really inconsistent with God's nature, in my opinion, and that's all you get here on the show is my opinion, and I'm not. When it comes to non-doctrinal issues, that's all I've got. I can't tell you if I'm right or wrong because they're non-doctrinal issues. These are not the things that, they're not things that affect salvation, but they sure affect people's spiritual walk, I'll tell you that. People get all kind of bent out of shape over this stuff. They just lose it, and it's they'll lose it more over preacher rapture than they will over the divinity of Christ, you know, or the triune, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, the Trinity. I mean, people get bent out of shape over non-doctrinal issues, and that's not where our heart's supposed to be. They're all for pondering. Proverbs talks about it. It's God's nature to hide a thing and man's nature to find it out. It's fun, but it's certainly not worthy. I've seen pastors. I watched a guy here recently that was in, you know, politics and, you know, was about as divisive as you can be and had the same issue with the church, and he took over. And you know, the thing is, folks, if you can't, F-R-E-E, free, forgiveness, repentance, empathy, and enthusiasm. When someone's arrogant and narcissistic and self-centered, they don't forgive, they don't repent, they lack empathy, and you'll find those people always lack enthusiasm. You know, and by enthusiasm, I mean a positive spirit. When we're walking with Christ, those things equate with the fruits of the Spirit. Forgiveness is necessary to have a good relationship with anybody. You get over it. You just get over it. You move on. And some people say, well, I can't. It's not that easy. No, you won't. The word can't doesn't exist. Won't is when it comes to free will, kill can't. Get can't out of your mind. Don't use that word. Our kids growing up, we didn't have the word can't in our house. I killed that word. Wasn't allowed. It was a four-letter word. Won't? Sure, you can choose, but people need to realize that they're making choices all the time in their own lives, and that's how you take personal responsibility for the outcome of your life. So to get back to Putin, my good friend Vladimir, we have, well, let's think of this. Under Trump, we had 3.5 years, say, of peace and prosperity, okay? So today, I just, for kicks, tried to look up the promises of Biden. Folks, propaganda. It's like, oh, PolitiFact, here are the promises of Joe Biden and whether or not he's kept them. And they have all these stupid, they take whatever he's done, and they put it in, common modern responsive or terms, and they're the most irrelevant, stupid things. I got to read you this. It's just garbage. Here's PolitiFact. Watch this. Biden promise tracker. You ready for this? We're gonna do some Biden promise tracking. It doesn't. It's not where his campaign is. Things like. Promises kept, and then it's like, get COVID-19 under control. And he says, I will not yield, And then they said, well, he did that, and then reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act and nominate the first black woman to the Supreme Court and add 150,000 community health workers and create a public health jobs corps and expand broadband or wireless broadband to 5G. Like, he's in control of that. Block new fracking on federal lands, but not ban all fracking. You like how they have to twist it and make it fit just perfect? Establish new fuel economy standards. Yeah, there's a new fuel economy standard, all right. It's called pay double for your gas. I mean, people, this is robbery, folks. He is an absolute imbecile, and I'm sorry, but he's an imbecile. And you know what? Vladimir Putin is not. I don't care how bad you hate him, and there's different views of people saying, well, I read from Lou Rockwell, I think, last week about a professor saying, he was predicting that it was going to wreck. He said literally wreck Ukraine. And guess what? Here we are, wrecking Ukraine. Ukraine is down in the tank-a-rooski, and away we go. They've been played as a pawn. Look at what Vladimir's so ticked off. Do you know he sat there and listened to Russia, lie. Yes, lies. And we've been trained, Russia bad, Russia manipulated elections, Russia this, Russia that. And anyone gets hacked, it's Russia. Lie. It's their toilet. It's their dumping ground. Folks, I'm telling you, Russia has not. We're awakening the bear, and Putin, in his speech, I was reading today, more of it, where he said, the reason that this is happening is because we were so weak for a small period of time in the 80s. He says, but we're not like that anymore. And he goes, therefore, all the treaties and things that we were forced into at that time, they're no longer relevant. And he knows, guess who's weak now? America, under the most pathetic president we've ever had. This is not even a president. This is not in any way what was ever intended for a president to be. It's an absolute, we've got highway robbery. We've been robbed of the election. We know it. It's true. I think you'd probably agree that most people know that we've got our tails between our legs now. We've got Pelosi, you know. Joe Biden is the perfect president for now, she says. What in the world does that mean? And when you look at what's going on, so under Trump, we had 3.5 years of peace and prosperity. So what have we had since Biden came in? And like I said, what were his promises? I mean, have we had peace? Heck no. I mean, he's like, oh, I promised to do. I mean, he's just mindless. He's like being held alive and held upright by some super potent spiritual dark force. And I actually believe that to be the case. His approval, I like this, is supposedly 40% now. 40%? That, what that means is if it were true, 40% of America is absolutely naive. If you go through, and here's another one, rejoin the World Health Organization. I like these promises. You know, what is this? Get the virus under control. Check. Completed. I mean, just propaganda. Rejoin the World Health Organization. Check. Completed. Rejoin the Paris Climate Deal. Check. Completed. You know, what are these people thinking? Where is this trash coming from? Are they that dumb? Are they so opposed to the truth that they just cannot allow themselves to see it? I mean, really? And you know, folks, there's what's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you don't have your physical needs met, nothing matters after that. And I was looking at this today. It goes physiological needs, then safety needs, then love and belonging, then esteem, then self-actualization. Our physiological needs are, you know, air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, and reproduction, okay? If you look at the 10 planks of communism, where they essentially... you know, we've got that check all the way. We're there. We've got, you know, you've got these whack jobs like Pete Buttigieg, who's in charge of the transportation public. You know what they want? They want to eliminate vehicles. And folks, another thing just to consider, everything electric. Fossil fuels are bad. You know, we've been lied to. There's more than enough, and they do replenish, and I won't get into that right now, but I guarantee you I'm right. But they can't control them because you're independent. If you have an electric vehicle, they control electricity. Who controls electricity? Public utilities. Oh, you can't turn on your vehicle. You can't charge your vehicle. Everyone needs everything. So the first thing that's happening is we're going to have huge brownouts. It's going to get worse. There's not going to be enough electricity to go around. And then everything's electronic. How do you think that the Bible that says that you will not be able to, they translate it, buy or sell without the mark of the beast. But what's it really say? It says agorazo, which means participate in the marketplace in Revelation. So it doesn't mean buy or sell. It means you're kicked out. You're going to kicked out. Says you can't, you're not, well, the translation is that you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, the number of the beast, you know, whatever it is in Revelations 13. And I'm like, that makes more and more sense to me every day. They can shut you down. And I think they would happily do so. I want to cover another, oh man, there's a lot of stuff I want to rattle through here. Let me try this real quick. So if we go down, if we look at Revelations 13, 17, and we go to the NASB, which that's what I always use, so be it. And he provides, it says, let's see here, he causes all the small, it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free man and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or their forehead. Well, we just had a test run at that with the COVID stuff. They were talking about marks and the whole thing. People pushed back, but guess what? It was test run number one. This new generation, they're probably going to be gobbling that up here soon. Scary, right? And he provides that no one will be able, and then the translation is to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Whatever that means, it's some number. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and the number is 666. Yowza, 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 right? But when it says that they will be able to buy or to sell, it's agorazo and poleo, okay? Agorazo is Strong's G59, which means to be in the marketplace or to attend it, to do business there, okay? And then poleo, it basically means the same thing. So it's telling us you're going to be your those who refuse to receive the mark of the beast, they're going to just get kicked out. You're going to get cancel cultured. I was talking to a lady today, a teacher who's losing her job because she won't get vaccinated. She doesn't want to jump through all the hoops and do the religious exemption, which, what a crock. And this is all because of Comrade Inslee, the Washington State governor. I mean, this guy won't quit. Federal government, even goofy Biden said, okay, the mandate's over. And what do you got? You got transportation. Got to still wear your mask and play the game. That's one of the 10 planks of communism is transportation. And you've got Inslee still demanding that teachers and all this play this game for this garbage vaccine that is, there's absolutely zero evidence of any efficacy whatsoever, period. Oh, you know, you might lose your immunity in a few months. There's no such thing. That's not how the human body works. It's a lie. It's poison. If the number of people that are dropping off like flies from this stuff, they're the sickness, the myocarditis, and it goes on and on and on. What it's doing to these people, it's creating all kinds of physical problems for people. And it even, you know, those who receive the mark of the beast, it even talks in the Bible about them getting sick. You know, it talks about them having, you know, some kind of a reaction. You go through the 10 planks of communism. You got abolition of property or land. Okay, you don't own your land, folks. Like it or not, you do not own your land. You have to rent it from the government. What do they call it? Abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land of public purpose. You have to pay tax. You own nothing. I heard a story today about a guy who was growing produce on his land, and there's some weird tax in this state, and they came in and shut him down and took it all because he was growing it for his own use. And they said, you're not paying the appropriate taxes, and they shut him down and seized his property. Is this America? Is it America when we're out there seizing the assets of Russian billionaires? Is that really helping our country win a war? Is that helping Ukraine? How does that help? You know what? It shows how ignorant people are. Well, this billionaire and that billionaire, just like they say, we need to tax all the billionaires and then we can help pay for all these medical programs, and they do it over and over. The amount of money that would be confiscated from all the billionaires in the United States of America wouldn't even, I think it'd last, they say, like a week. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, our debt structure, folks, is beyond anything that you can even fathom. Our deficit now is in the 30-plus trillion. With 300 million Americans, it's $1 million a pop. You've got an entire debt. U.S. total debt, they say, is $90 trillion. But then you have unfunded liabilities. I mean, you just keep racking it up. Unfunded liabilities, $170 trillion. And then our actual, those are things we owe, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, et cetera, you know, military pay, future retirement, this and that. So $168 trillion. You got our basic the debt, the interest in debt, 89, say 90 trillion for rounding up. You know how you round a trillion here and a trillion there. After a while, you're talking about real money. Our personal debt, I mean, I can't even believe these numbers. It's just so astounding. It's just astounding. I don't even know where to go with all this stuff. You add the total debt and personal debt, you're at 110 trillion. You add unfunded liabilities, another 170, then you're at 280 trillion. Add the deficit on top of that, you're at 310 trillion. Gee, guess what? That's about 10 times the deficit, which is exactly how the fractional reserve banking system works. But you can hardly handle $100,000 in debt yourself, but they've slapped you with millions. This is the fact. The dollar is imploding, I should say. They're not keeping up with inflation. Everyone's like, they need to raise interest rates. It'll devastate our country. When we've got this level of debt hanging over our head, folks, I'm telling you, be prepared, because it's, you know, it's not going to correct itself. So I'm going to just bust through some stuff financially real quick. And I'm telling you, we're busy. I dread trying to encourage more people to come in. We're super fair and super honest. We offer the best prices in the nation. I just ask you this. If you come in, I mean, don't call and chisel us about what the prices are just because you know better. I mean, I've been doing this 30 years, and there's certain people that just keep riding that same bike, you know. They have to beat you up on everything, and it doesn't do any good. It doesn't change the price you pay. It just takes time away from other customers, and it's not fair. But our world, the world economic and geopolitical condition took its first slam when Mystery Babylon went down on 9/11. From that point forward, we've been spiraling downward. New York's never recuperated, never recovered. That was the financial capital of the world. Our White House has been under duress ever since. We've gotten ourselves involved where we don't belong all around the world. And that was the beginning, and it's been like 20 plus years. This problem is escalating towards it's an imminent economic and financial collapse. It's exponentially increasing. This is what the Bible tells us is happening. Every successful financial experts that I read or listen to state that they're beginning to rapidly abandon the paper investments of yesteryear for the immediate assurance of wealth and capital preservation. The problem is some of them are confused and they're going for digital currencies. Folks, all you got to do is flip a switch, you got nothing. God's money lasts. He says you're going to be chucking in the streets on the final day of the day of wrath when people go, well, it makes it worthless. Okay, you're smart because God puts it all over heaven. And I've actually had people say, well, that means it's worthless because God builds heaven out of junk, I suppose. I'm not a big fan of that concept. I think he's a little better than that. If Trump can build a home like he builds, I think God's is better. Precious metals have been the pinnacle form of wealth and real money or true wealth in every civilized society throughout world history written. Thinking of precious metals as an investment is the wrong perspective. There's no risk of loss. It's real money. It lasts from the beginning to the end. The only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth are gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. You can back through those, but they all have their disadvantages. Real estate, you got taxes. Precious stones, don't touch with a 10-foot pole. People get their heads torn off because you don't know what you're doing. Livestock, if you want to raise cattle and clean up their stuff and feed them and all that, good luck. Real estate, you got taxes. I've been down that road. So I think it's important to understand that you just have to secure your wealth. Secure enough. Only, you know, whatever money you cannot afford to lose, put in hard assets right now. Put in precious metals. I mean, they're ready for another surge, and they've maintained better than inflation growth anyway. The whole point of precious metals is they're divisible. They're what's called fungible. They're the same everywhere in the world at all times. Nothing else is like that. People try to say that about Bitcoin, but the thing is you got to hook up to an electronic system to get it, or crypto, I should say. But precious metals are divisible, portable, recognizable, and they're actually scarce. They're coming out with more microchips. They're going to be pumping out so much more crypto, it'll blow everyone's mind before they figure out what happened. Precious metals are the most stable store of value ever, always have been. They're like titleless real estate without a title, I guess. It's everything that good money is supposed to be. It's the definition of money in and of itself. It's been recognized throughout history and in every nation now. Precious metals offer true financial freedom and liberty. I've seen this, security and peace of mind, tight private personal control. Again, universal recognition, desirability. Everyone wants them. There's a never-ending insatiable demand. They're a compact storage unit of value. You know, they've grown and grown and grown and grown since 9/11 especially, and that's where the world changed. Wisdom is, it's a wise form of currency, I guess. Balanced and diversified. They're always like, young people can afford risk in the stock market. I say young people can afford conservatism. How is that risk proven out over time? Foolishness. They have time to be safe. We're talking about timeless and true wealth and capital preservation, which, you know, is pretty much the entire point of money. Everything they're teaching us now is contrary to money. They offer a physical, tangible asset in an age of intangibles. We're becoming a fully intangible society, electronically driven. The S&P 500 is now 99% intangible. 25 years ago, it was 95% tangible products. And I've mentioned godliness versus godlessness versus godliness. The world's view versus God's view. God's view has been hard assets, liquid, anonymous, transportable hard assets. That's what he provided for us. But we think we're smarter because we're all caught up in the system where we can't buy or sell if we don't take the mark. Agorazo and Paleo. Do you prepare yourself now or do you wait till it's too late? I can tell you what I've done, and I don't just sell the stuff. I believe in it wholly. I mean, wholly I believe in the stuff. Every penny I've got's in it. I don't have a bit of paper anywhere at any time, period. I won't do it. I don't believe in it. It's worked out well for me. I mean, I'll admit I like real estate, but I'm limited in my holdings because I'm getting really concerned about that whole market taking a big dump. Hyperinflation is right in our face right now. Bank corporations continue to continually encourage us to accumulate what I can call paper, or now it's digital assets or net worth growth, that are completely speculative, 100% at risk at all times. God stipulates precious metals. They're immune from the whims, deception, and fundamental failings and errors of mankind. They speak for themselves. The value is intrinsic. The independence and freedom, privacy, anonymity, liquidity, and transportability offered by precious metals intimidate the establishment. So anyway, you know where to call. Coins Plus, 509-444-0044. Take care. God bless. Have a beautiful night. Thanks. Bye-bye.